Anthropology, Human Heredity, and Eugenics in Berlin. The Rockefeller Foundation curtailed donations to Nazi Germany's medical institutions before Pearl Harbor, but Rockefeller's success promoting the eugenics movement had already captivated Adolf Hitler. "Now that we know the laws of heredity," Hitler told a fellow Nazi, "it is possible to a large extent to prevent unhealthy and severely handicapped beings from coming into the world. I have studied with interest the laws of several American states concerning prevention of reproduction by people whose progeny would, in all probability, be of no value or be injurious to the racial stock." In the early 1950s, the Rockefeller Foundation conducted fertility studies in India that historian Matthew Connolly characterizes as an example of American social science at its most hubristic. In one of the collaborations with the Harvard School of Public Health and India's Ministry of Health, the Rockefeller Foundation studied 8,000 tribal people in 7 villages in the Kana section of Punjab to determine whether contraceptive tablets could dramatically reduce fertility rates. According to Lindsay McGoey, the villagers were treated like lab specimens, subjected to monthly questioning, but otherwise ignored. Rockefeller's researchers did not initially inform the Punjabis that their pills would prevent women from bearing children. McGoey describes the villagers as shocked, dismayed, and resentful to learn that the medication they credulously consumed was intended to render them infertile. Some were incensed by the effort to limit their future progeny. Over the next 2 decades, the Rockefeller Foundation conducted frequent anti-fertility programs in India and elsewhere, earning the growing animosity of physicians, human rights activists, and poverty specialists who criticized the foundation for focusing on population growth while ignoring the realities of persistent poverty that makes large families so indispensable to Indian and African villagers. Today, McGoey adds, the Gates Foundation is pouring money into experimental medical trials that are facing criticism, similar to those directed at the Rockefeller Foundation's Kana study. Like earlier philanthropic foundations, the Gates Foundation has the financial and political clout to intervene in foreign nations with relative impunity and to remain unfazed when the experiments it funds go awry. Gates's fetish for reducing population is a family pedigree. His father, Bill Gates Sr., was a prominent corporate lawyer and civic leader in Seattle with a lifelong obsession for population control. Gates Sr. sat on the National Board of Planned Parenthood, a neo-progressive organization founded in 1916 by the racist eugenicist Margaret Sanger to promote birth control and sterilization and to purge human waste and create a race of thoroughbreds. Sanger said she hoped to purify the gene pool by eliminating the unfit persons with disabilities, preventing such persons from reproducing by surgical sterilization or other means. In 1939, Sanger created and directed the Racist Negro Project, which strategically co-opted black ministers in leadership roles to promote contraceptives to their congregations. Sanger stated in a letter to her eugenics colleague Clarence Gamble of Procter & Gamble, "We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things, Gates told Bill Moyers in 2003. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood, and it was very controversial to be involved with that. Overpopulation, Gates' father told Salon in a 2015 interview, was an interest he's had since he was a kid. In 1994, the elder Gates formed the William H. Gates Foundation, the family's first, focused on reproductive and child health in the developing world. Population control was an enduring preoccupation of his son's philanthropy from its inception. Gates has made a long parade of public statements and investments that reflect his deep dread of overpopulation. He describes himself as an admirer and proponent of the population doomsayer Paul Ehrlich, author of The Population Bomb, whom Gates describes as the world's most prominent environmental Cassandra, meaning a prophet who accurately predicts misfortune or disaster. By the way, I share Gates's fear that if humanity persists in juxtaposing exponential population expansion atop linear resource growth, we will all land in a nightmarish Malthusian dystopia. I'm troubled, however, by his apparent comfort in using coercive and mendacious tactics to trick poor people into dangerous and unwanted contraceptive programs. The proven paths to zero population growth are the mitigation of poverty and empowerment of women. Women with alternative career opportunities seldom choose the heavy and hazardous burden of serial maternity. Virtually every nation with a stable middle class has fertility below replacement rates, but Gates's careless public statements and the programs that he habitually funds suggests that Gates has involved himself in sketchy stealth campaigns to sterilize dark-skinned and marginalized women without their informed consent, including by the deceptive use of dangerous sterility vaccines. On February 20, 2010, less than 1 month after he famously committed $10 billion to the WHO, Bill Gates suggested in his Innovating to Zero TED Talk in Long Beach, California, that reducing world population growth could be done in part with new vaccines. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Here he is almost quoting Bryant et al. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. Gates's defenders and the Gates-subsidized fact-checker organizations scoff at critics who interpret literally Gates's 2010 statement that he hoped to use vaccines to reduce population. They explain that Gates intended by this inartful construct to suggest that life-saving vaccines will allow more infants to survive to adulthood, thereby reassuring impoverished parents that they need not have so many children. But this hypothesis rests on the sketchy premise that his vaccines reduce child mortality, a proposition that Gates has never demonstrated and that current science does not support. His peculiar choice of words naturally fueled speculation that he was engaging in a premeditated campaign to use vaccines to sterilize women. His questionable antics in promoting anti-fertility drugs and WHO's widespread use of stealth sterility vaccines credibly fuel such sentiments. Depo Provera, a cruel irony. Population control has been the central preoccupation of the Gates Foundation since its inception. In 1999, Gates's $2.2 billion commitment to the UN Population Fund doubled the size of the Gates Foundation. The same year, he funded, with a $20 million contribution, the founding of the Johns Hopkins Center for Population. In 2017, the Gates Foundation adopted the goal of administering contraceptives to 214 million women in poor countries. Gates's contraceptive of choice is the long-term infertility agent Depo Provera. Population planners have administered Depo Provera primarily to poor and black women in the United States since its invention in 1967. In the United States, 84% of Depo Provera users are black, and 74% are low income. Depo Provera's biggest promoter, Planned Parenthood, specifically targets blacks and Latinas in its marketing campaigns. UN data demonstrate that Depo Provera is seldom administered to white or affluent women or girls in the United States or Europe. Depo-provera is a powerful poison with a devastating inventory of wretched side effects. Under federal law, the Depo-provera label must bear FDA's most stringent black box warning due to its potential to cause fatal bone loss. Furthermore, women have reported both missed periods and excessive bleeding, blood clots in arms, legs, lungs, and eyes, stroke, weight gain, ectopic pregnancy, depression, hair loss, decreased libido, and permanent infertility. Some studies have associated Depo-provera with dramatic increases, 200%, in breast cancer risk. The FDA warns women not to take Depo-provera for longer than 2 years, but Gates's program prescribes at least a 4-year course, or indefinitely, for African women, and goes to great lengths to avoid warning black women about the concoction's many drawbacks. Between 1994 and 2006, Bill and Melinda Gates teamed with the Rockefeller and Andrew W. Mellon Foundations, the Population Council, and USAID to fund a seminal family planning experiment administering Depo-provera to approximately 9,000 impoverished women in the town of Navrongo and districts of Ghana. Though USAID's stated underlying principles for family planning are volunteerism and informed choice, it hasn't always worked out that way. A disturbing 2011 expose of the collaboration by the Rebecca Project for Justice, the outsourcing of Tuskegee non-consensual research in Africa, documented how Gates's researchers lied to the Navrongo women, telling them that they were receiving routine health care and/or social observations, never informing them that they were part of a population control experiment. Gates's researchers violated U.S. research laws by failing to administer informed consent forms to the women they injected with Depo-provera. Nor did they obtain Institutional Review Board, IRB, approval for a human experiment that lasted an extraordinary 6 years. Under direction of Dr. James Phillips, Gates's PIs deliberately fabricated and falsified research data to fraudulently prove Depo-provera safe. Based on such proofs, in 2011, Gates expanded his project to fund Depo-provera programs for some 12 million women across sub-Saharan Africa. That same year, 2011, a study by another prestigious BMGF and NIH-funded research team from Gates's own Washington School of Public Health published an article in Lancet Infectious Diseases, Heffron et al., 2012, reporting that African women who used injectable Depo-provera were much more likely to acquire HIV/AIDS compared to untreated women. Depo-provera injections double a woman's risk of contracting and transmitting HIV. This result was not an enormous surprise. For 24 years, diverse studies have shown that Depo-provera thins the vaginal wall, easing transmission of HIV. Furthermore, the researchers found Depo-provera exacerbates the rates of HIV/AIDS infections to a recipient's sexual partners. Despite her funding from Gates, the study's lead author, Dr. Renee Heffron, and her fellow researchers recommended informing HIV-infected women of Depo-provera's grave risks and to use alternative non-progesterone-based contraceptives. Women should be counseled about potentially increased risk of HIV-1 acquisition and transmission. The confirmation of the risk by his own scientists posed an obvious conundrum for Gates, since it pitted his passion for population control against his avowed commitment to end the spread of HIV in Africa. Population, it turns out, Trump's HIV prevention in Bill Gates's catechism. Without offering any scientific research to substantiate their claims, Gates' deputies, a cabal of extreme population control advocates linked to Gates, worked with Pfizer intermediaries to viciously attack Heffron's research findings. The critics included BMGF, Planned Parenthood, the UN, Ronald Gray of the Gates-funded Johns Hopkins University, James Shelton of USAID's Office of Population, and others. Under these fierce attacks by Gates' minions and the medical cartel, Dr. Heffron and her research team courageously stood their ground and retained their professional integrity. The Lancet published Heffron's withering response. Dr. Heffron pointed out that her attackers cited no convincing science and that the two recent studies by Heffron and the WSPH team capped a quarter century of published research documenting increased HIV risk among women taking Depo-Provera. To combat this crisis, WHO, by then wearing Bill Gates' boot on its neck, convened a group of hand-picked experts, all sworn to secrecy, for a closed-door meeting in Geneva on January 31, 2012, to discuss damage control on the Heffron study and the mountain of HIV research that supported her. On February 16, 2012, WHO and its mysterious expert cabal, unsurprisingly, announced its preordained decision. Women living with HIV/AIDS or at high risk of HIV/AIDS can safely use Depo-Provera. Betsy Hartman, a longtime reproductive rights advocate, ridiculed WHO's convenient new guidelines. This reversal, despite 25 years of studies citing an increased risk of HIV transmission among women using it, raises question marks whether WHO abandoned caution due to outside encouragement by special interest groups. Hartman was clearly referring to BMGF. In the wake of WHO's self-serving declaration, Melinda Gates announced in July 2012 a billion-dollar contribution as BMGF's share of a $4 billion collaboration with USAID, PATH, and Pfizer, with the goal of promoting Pfizer's Depo-Provera across sub-Saharan Africa. Pfizer and USAID committed the remaining $3 billion to African contraceptive projects. Outcry and censure from dozens of international women's rights advocates and reproductive health groups greeted Melinda Gates's announcement. According to a detailed report by Jacob Levitch, the real agenda of the Gates Foundation, Mrs. Gates minimized the proven risk of acquiring HIV/AIDS with Depo-Provera by directing the public to a contrived 8-page technical statement published by the Gates Foundation's supplicants at WHO, assuring the public that Depo-Provera is safe and that all contrary scientific research that linked Depo-Provera to HIV infection was inconclusive. To quell the growing uproar, Gates funded a WHO study to debunk the HIV association once and for all. This time, he skipped over Heffron to fund a more reliable group of researchers. Environmental lawyers call this sort biostitutes. On October 21, 2015, WHO released its investigation, which not surprisingly concluded that there is no evidence of a causal association between DMPA use and an incidence in women's risk of HIV acquisition. WHO then issued new guidelines that mirror precisely those recommended by Pfizer, Depo-Provera's manufacturer. Some 40 reproductive health groups demanded that WHO's director, Margaret Chan, sideline the new guidelines until Gates' study could survive a rigorous reevaluation process. WHO ignored those pleas. The centerpiece of the Gates $4 billion caper is a self-injection syringe, a plastic bubble attached to a needle, for administering Depo-Provera. Pfizer creates the gizmo, but Gates's Seattle-based legate, PATH, markets it under the new brand name Siena Press. PATH's former director, Chris Elias, was by then president of the BMGF. Through PATH, Gates will distribute these devices, costing $1 per three-month dose, to 120 million women in 69 of the world's poorest countries. With contributions that Gates plans to squeeze from those governments, these lucky ladies will pay little or none of the cost. Pfizer, of course, will make a killing. According to the Wall Street Journal's Market Watch, Pfizer could potentially earn approximately $36 billion in sales, resulting from an unprecedented Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation investment, $560 million from BMGF, totaling $4.3 billion with government contributions, that promotes Depo-Provera as the optimum contraceptive for women of color and low-income women. Levitch explains that this scheme is a cunning dodge to evade U.S. regulations that require Pfizer's label include its dire black box warning bearing the words FDA, black box,